SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two, weekend preview at the races. Jay Privman of the Daily Racing Forum joining us. Jay, good morning.
Steve, how are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Just had a zippy first hour with Marty McGee and Randy Bradshaw, and spinning right into the second as we head to the weekend. Before we do anything on the preview side, not that actually that's our focus today with you, but let's dive in, Jay, to Santa Anita Derby. You were banging the Honor AP drum early on.
Yeah, I've been very high on him since seeing him at Del Mar with his debut last summer sprinting, and then his big maiden win at the fall meet at Santa Anita. And was just has had the look of a horse who was just going to get better with distance and time, and nice to see him, you know, step up like it looks like he had the potential to do last Saturday and win and get a career best buyer of 102, and it was only his fourth start, and you'd think that going out to a mile and a quarter is going to suit him even more than a mile and an eighth. So he's a horse who's really touted himself, just he's a gorgeous horse, just a really good looking horse, and races well, and thought his come back in the San Felipe was an ideal setup. I didn't think it was going to take him 3 months to run a second time of the year, but there's a lot of things I haven't expected this year. But really liked his win, and looking forward to seeing what he can do over the next few months.
Well, and, you know, given the time involved, Jay, and, you know, not that any number of horsemen that we bring up, you know, couldn't benefit from the time, but certainly John Sheriff's, you know, with a calendar in front of him and plotting things, you know, to get to an arrival point, he's got to be among the best at you know, that kind of a circumstance.
Very much so, but I honestly think even if the Derby had held on its original date, this horse would have been
right
ready then as well. You know, he'd had the good comeback in the San Felipe. If the Santa Anita Derby had been on April the 4th, I'm sure he would have acquitted himself well and then gone on to the Derby on May the 2nd and run well there too. But the extra time is not going to jeopardize you know, what John Sheriff does. He's a top class horseman, and he's done a great job over the years with, you know, so many horses, and he's showing it again here with the skill that he's got with this horse, which is, you know, one of the reasons why in the pre-meet story I did on two-year-olds turning three at Santa Anita last, you know, late December, he was the focal point of the story. It just looked like he had a couple of prospects, and Honor AP was the most prominent of them, and you know, at the time, he was just a maiden winner, but it's just nice to see that this horse really progressed like it looks like he had the potential to do. They don't always work out that way, but this one really did.
Some thoughts about Authentic's effort. Gary Young was with us yesterday, Jay, and I asked Gary, too, his impressions of last week's results, and he said not to, you know, not to give up yet on Authentic's long-term prospects.
No, I mean, I thought Authentic's a very good horse. That was his first loss, and lost to a horse who I consider to be one of the top Derby contenders. My concern that I've expressed, you know, many times on this show before with Authentic is I just don't know if he wants farther than a mile and an eighth. That's not an unfamiliar position with offspring of Into Mischief, and it's something that has concerned me about this horse. But, you know, up to a mile and an eighth, he's probably as good as just about anybody. And, you know, he had a trip last week where he was part of a fairly significant pace and emerged as the best of that group, And he just couldn't hold off, you know, the best, probably the best three-year-old in the West right now. I think he's a really good horse. It's just, are we talking about him in the context of the Kentucky Derby, or are we talking about him in the context of, you know, the Haskell? That's the difference between a mile and a quarter and a mile and an eighth. I think up to a mile and an eighth, he's extremely effective. I think going a little bit farther might not be as advantageous to him as it would be to Honor AP or some of the others of this crop.
And anything amongst the also rans?
Well, Rushy finished third. It was his stakes debut. I thought he ran on well. He wasn't beating the top two, but I thought he kept to his task pretty well. He had a really good trip in the race, but he continues to take steps forward. And I would think he'd be, you know, even better with more time. He's not nominated to the Triple Crown. I mean, obviously, if they wanted to supplement him to the Derby, if he got really good over the next few months, they could do that. But it looks like they're taking more of a much longer-term approach with him, and I think you'll see him being among the better three-year-olds by year's end. But in terms of Triple Crown, they're taking a more of a long view with him.
Well, Jay,
and
no door, get out of...
Just,
yeah. Yep.
I'm sorry. You go ahead. What were you going to say?
No. I'll finish that up because I want to go into some other stories. But, what is Blaine Wright going to do?
I don't know what he's going to do. I think he should go back to the grass, though. I mean, he's just not... His first race ever was on turf, and it was wild. And he ran terrific. And I think he maybe should go back to the grass and see if that perks him up, because he's just not – he hasn't shown this year, you know, the kind of ability that he showed last year. And even though his race the other day was probably his best race so far of the three he's run as a three-year-old, he's just not back to the same level. And it's either he's just hasn't improved, which is certainly a possibility that happens, but it also might mean that he just needs something to switch it up. And considering how well he ran on the grass in his first start, I think, you know, he deserves a chance to maybe do something like that. And there's a great grass program for three-year-olds at Del Mar, so I think that would be a really interesting way to see if you can right the ship.
Nice. It makes sense. And what's interesting from a, you know, just using figs as a measurement, he had this forward projection, and then he's basically run the same, you know, the same fig more or less with each start this year. And so maybe to get that momentum forward and improvement, that formula going back to the grass might be exactly, you know, the right move. Also on Saturday, Jay, before we talk about some of the unfortunate injuries that came out this week, Cezanne and the highly anticipated debut.
Right. I mean, he finally got to the races. Very expensive two-year-old purchase from last year. Son of Curlin, won nicely first time out. He will get a chance to make the Derby. He's probably got time for two more races, and we'll see if he can progress enough to get there. We put him on our Derby Watch Top 20 list because, he's going to get a chance, and, B, as you just alluded to, there were a lot of horses who went by the wayside with Charlatan and Maxfield and Wells Bayou. We had four horses come off our list. Those three because of injury, and then we took out Shooter Shoot after he ran in the Santa Anita Derby. So we had to bring four horses in, and Cezanne was one of them. And Marty McGee, you know, the way we do our top 20, first we pick our 20, and then this year Marty McGee puts the prices on the horses, and he was so impressed by Cezanne, he's got him at his fourth choice as 12-1 on our list. So that's the kind of regard that he's held in, and it's the kind of year where a horse like that could certainly make a Hail Mary impression going towards the first Saturday in September.
Well, he's going to have to catch up in a hurry. No, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be a challenging thing. But I mean, he made his first start approximately 3 months in front of the Kentucky Derby, which is what, you know, or a little less than 3 months in front of the Kentucky Derby, which is what justified it. So it's kind of on that template that they're going to make the bid to get there. You know, whether it's he does get there, as you've said, it's a long way to come in a short amount of time, and it's not it's been attempted many times but not pulled off often at all. So we'll see if he can do it. But he's going to get his chance, and if this year, that's, you know, just being in the, you know, still standing and able to compete is a major aspect of things, because it's been a high attrition rate.
Well, and let's talk about the attrition rate and the specifics, because the Maxfield ebb and flow has been taking undoubtedly a toll on Brendan Walsh. You know, the disappointment of last fall, and then, you know, the expectation that there wouldn't be an opportunity to make the most important of the classics. Then the opportunity avails itself, and you look like you're in position to capitalize, only to have, you know, the football ripped away by Lucy.
Right. I mean, what a roller coaster ride, right? I mean, to get that reprieve and have the chance, because they were going to run out of time to make the first Saturday in May, at least run out of time to do it the right way. And so they backed off on him when there was a suspension of racing, or the cancellation, really, of racing at Keeneland for the spring meet, because he was potentially going to come back in something like the Bluegrass or the Lexington. And they took the long-term view, which they were now afforded, and came back in the Matt Wynn, and he ran great in that race. And then he comes back and gets hurt in a breeze subsequent to that, prepping for the Bluegrass, which would have been, you know, a month from now. So it's just really, the ups and downs are brutal. And, you know, Brendan Walsh has had a great Churchill meet since they got back up and running. His horses are firing left and right, and he'd done everything right with this horse, and still something like this happens, and you're knocked out of the game. So it was pretty brutal.
And almost as an afterthought, or you know, certainly overshadowed by the Maxfield news, you know, minutes later, Marty also reported on Wells Bayou that has got bone bruising and is going to be shelved.
Right. So he'll get some time, and I'm sure we'll see him either at the end of the year as a 4-year-old. He had a couple of, I thought, pretty soft trips in his recent races, and he's one like Authentic, who I thought might be compromised trying to go out to a mile and a quarter, but he had the potential to add a little bit of pace to the race, and we'll just see how that plays out. It's still, you know, we're still so far out from the Derby. There's just so many things that could happen between now and then. We're still, you know, nearly 3 months from the race, so it's still a long run in. It's like the equivalent of the mid-February right now for a May Derby.
Well, we are always on the Derby watch, as you and Marty are and have been, but we've got a classic a week from tomorrow, Jay, of sorts, and the Belmont has taken a couple of dinks in the fender here as the weeks have gone on, whether it's horses that, you know, the Baffert prospects, or now, you know, Maxfield at first making the decision to go to the Bluegrass and bypass Belmont. Now, the injuries that are accruing, and we've gotten one new addition, it looks like, in Tappet to Win. Some thoughts out ahead of next Saturday.
Yeah, Tappet to Win's a horse who's one of the four that we brought onto the Derby Watch Top 20 this week. His allowance win, obviously, was extremely impressive, and thought he deserved a chance to to prove himself. Obviously, the race is going to go through Tis the Law. He's going to be a heavy favorite. I don't expect there to be a very big field. You'll have a couple of horses from Todd Pletcher's barn in Farmington Road, and the improving and, I think, very dangerous Dr. Post. Gouverneur Morris has been rerouted to the Bluegrass Stakes. You'll also have a representative from Steve Asmussen's barn, most likely Basin. We'll look for him to be in there. And then there's, we'll see if Sol Volante gets wheeled back after his win at Gulfstream the other day. So you would have him. Then you've got Max Player coming off a layoff and possibly Modernist for the race as well. So I think you're going to end up with, maybe eight. A lot of tracks have tried to come online in a hurry here, and we're seeing it across the board in terms of field size. It went from four tracks open a month ago to, 20 or whatever now, and we're already seeing the strain in terms of field sizes everywhere. And and the other thing with the Belmont, obviously it's the major race, classic, goofy year. It's going to be run the first and a mile and an eighth, but there's so many options right now for horses with that division. A week after the Belmont is the Ohio Derby. The week after that's out here is the Los Alamitos Derby. 3 days after the Los Alamitos Derby is the Indiana Derby. A few days after the Indiana Derby is the Bluegrass. They're going to be coming hot and heavy one after the other here. But like I said, maybe eight or so, and Tis the Law is going to be an odds-on favorite.
Well, and we'll talk to you from Belmont next week, and look forward to the way they end up coming together. And Jay, quick thoughts on the rest of the big card last Saturday at Santa Anita. Improbable gets that mile and a quarter grade one, and Swiss Skydiver, some interesting things. McPeak probably rattling around in his head with her. McKinsey comes back on Sunday, and then there was all the other nice action later in the as part of the weekend.
Yeah, I thought, it was a very clever move of McPeak to come out here, and there's still so much time till races like the Derby and the Oaks, and I'm surprised that, more people weren't from out of town, didn't take advantage of that. It was a small field, and it was really a smart move on his part, and I think he's been saying, for weeks now, and both before and after that race, that she'll go on to the Ashland and then onto the Kentucky Oaks. But that was a smart move on his part to come out here and just keep her, ticked over and going on, because there were, four horses in the race? And, she hadn't come in, would have been an even smaller field. But she's a solid filly. She's rattled off several wins in a row. She gets good figures. I mean, she's obviously one of the top contenders for the Oaks. As for Improbable, that was not the strongest Hollywood Gold Cup field that's ever been fielded, but it was nice to see him get a win like that. He's obviously been, among the top of his generation. He ended up, he's a great trivia question, who was the favorite in last year's Kentucky Derby and Preakness Stakes. So he's obviously been highly regarded for a long time. It was just, I had always been concerned if a mile and a quarter was going to be something he could pull off, and he did it there, against that field. I still don't know if he's could be that good against the best mile and a quarter horses in the country, but that was, if he was up against the likes of, Code of Honor or somebody like that. But I thought that was a good, smart performance on his part. And I know they're not going to do it with him, but I'd really like to see him try the grass at some point, being by City Zip. I think he'd really like it, but he's pretty darn good on dirt, and I think that's what the plan is going to be with him. And then for McKinsey, that was, that was a means to an end. It was a nice tune-up. You're going to see a better, fitter, faster, I think, McKinsey in the Met Mile, but he got a nice tune-up in the 7/8 Triple Bend, his first start since coming back from Saudi Arabia, and I think you'll see him at his best for the Met Mile on July 4th weekend. And he ran a great race in the Met Mile last year. He might have been best, but even finishing second to you know, Mattoli was a tremendous effort, I think that'll be a fun race this year. Again, always a good race.
Always, exactly. And, of course, with the Manhattan on July 4th, as the Belmont, this truncated and intense Belmont meet with stakes every day and big Saturdays, a lot to look forward to yet. And, Jay, it also occurs to me, you know, bringing up Improbable and McKinsey and, you know, the horses from... the ghosts of classics of classic trails past. How about the 4-year-olds making an impact between Code of Honor's win on Saturday in the Westchester and Vekoma's stunner in the Carter? Last year's group kind of distinguishing themselves.
No, it was a good group of horses, and you know, glad to see Code of Honor come back like he did. I think Vekoma is being managed really smartly. I think he's a one-turn horse. I think the 7/8 of the Carter or the Met Mile, you know, I know they were sort of on the fence about the Met Mile coming out of the racing. Well, we don't know if they want to run him back in 4 weeks. I mean, it's 4 weeks. I really hope he can take coming back in 4 weeks. It's not like he's stymy and want to run him 3 times in a week. So I would, because I just think that would be an ideal race for him, a one-turn mile at Belmont Park. So hopefully he's ready to come back on that short 4-week rest and be ready for it. But yeah, they're, like you said, I mean, it's nice to see those horses come back like that. And it's nice, first of all, just that they stay in training instead of going to stud. But it's nice to see them then reward their connections who kept them in training by performing like that, and hopefully they'll stay at that level for the rest of the year.
Jay Brittman, Daily Racing Form, the Derby Watch, and Jay, appreciate it. And weekend plans, anything ahead that we should know about?
I have the weekend off, so.
Nice. Nice.
As soon as I hang up the phone with you, I'm I'll reemerge on Monday.
I love it, Jay. Enjoy, and we'll talk to you Belmont Eve.
Sounds good. I look forward to it.
Jay Pribman, everybody, DRF Pribman on your Twitter machine, and. We'll look forward to the big Saturday, which, of course, also includes plenty of other 3-year-old action. Andy was talking about it yesterday on the Fox America's Day at the Races broadcast about how it's really a 3-year-old showcase with the Acorn and the Woody and so forth. So, and the turf action as well. Let's take a break. Coming up toward the bottom of the hour, we'll get Hammer in here. And then we got visits yet with Nick Tamaro and Brandon Lee at Lone Star. And we can't get Ron Gierking today, so I'll just give you some, give you a little lift. I gave you a little bit of the field preview of the Woodbine Stakes and Mr. and Mrs. Trombetta making the, I don't know if they're making the trip, but I doubt that, but the Trombetta presence, Mike has really done a lot of, sent a lot of horses up and successfully to Woodbine, and of course actually had the 3-year-old champion, the sovereign winner for Mrs. Weber that we talked about quite a bit last year. I do want to get Mike Welch in here as well, at least for a cursory glance. They're giving away, as we suggested when Mike visited, the opportunity to make a force out on the Rainbow Six. And so that came to pass not long after we talked to Mike. Maybe we'll get a couple of thoughts, you know, early on the card, or early on the sequence. I mean, I know he's got a handicap, you know, for the paper already, but we'll see if Mike has got some further thoughts. We'll reach out to him. All right? So basically 90 minutes in, 90 to come. Weekend preview at the races, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Pletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When I said it out loud, it wasn't as strong as it was in my head. I tried not to think about it, so it came back louder. I think it's been about a year since I became a snob. Decided not to play along, so it grew bigger.
Bottom of the hour, Mike Welch will join us before we wrap today, probably at about 11:40 Eastern Time, and Brandon Lee as well from Lone Star and Nick Tamaro. Right now, Rick Hammerly. Good morning. Oh, look at you. Little REM. Good job. It's a little hollow there, Hammer.
Yeah, I had to come in with a little music myself. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Yeah.
It's funny, what I don't know is we never talk about when we're coming on, so I just put on some oatmeal, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and I go, well, I'll let that one go, and it's Casey, so I'm shoveling down some oatmeal.
That's fine.
Everything's good. How are you guys?
Good. Good. The week, I mean, the weeks, it's a blur, I got to tell you. There was a certain pace to the quiet period, and, with everything that's happened so quickly and with so many of the ovals, coming back online the way they have, it just keeping up, getting back into the swing of having so many more cards to evaluate, and frankly, Rick, cherry pick. I mean, it's an opportunity to really pick and choose, and price shop like this 10% Canterbury pick 5. Indiana next week is going to have their 11.99% takeout pick 5 as well, and you can kind of find the best fields and the best sequences. There's a lot to absorb right now.
You know what? That's a great point. It wasn't that long ago when we had, we had Fauner and we had Will Rogers Downs on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we had a little camp at Gulfstream the rest of the time, and that was it. And you're right. As we had like one track and then two and then three, we're almost back to normal. And, I got to say, in the whole scheme of things, as we return, and every track that's come back has, the purses aren't what they used to be, aren't what they were or would have been had we, not had the corona stoppage or, around the world type of thing. But there's been no complaints. No one's complained about, running for less money, whether it's the owners or the trainers or the riders or anybody. Everyone just kind of put their head down and thankful that we're running. And and you turn around and you look at baseball and you see these guys, they can't come up with a deal. They want to get paid. What happened to playing for the love of the game? America really needs some sports right now. You'd think that they would just cut a deal. Hey, pay us $1 million. We want to get on the field. Let's play. Play ball type of thing. No, we got to show the greed. And it really kind of makes you sick when you look at that. And here we are, running for reduced money. But you know what? I haven't heard one complaint. And we're out there. And you know what? We're betting. We're watching. Owners are starting to get a check or two as it trickles down. So, I heard some last report the other day. I said, it's true baseball. We got the best game going.
It's point well made, Rick, and we've said it all along that the game and the participants and here's the first post pause sale at the same time. I mean, the numbers are going to be soft. It's not as soft as the March sale, but the numbers are awful, 10-15% probably when they wrap up today. Everybody's adjusted, and vendors worked with the horsemen, and everybody's understanding. And I have made the point repeatedly that the industry has distinguished itself dealing with this.
Like I said, it's a good feeling. Everyone's off and everyone's adjusted, like you said, and it's kind of. It's kind of neat to see. And, like you said, the cherry picking, as I've been involved in a lot more handicapping stuff than normal, and taking some advice from some people. Basically, if you don't like a day, take the day off, which I have done occasionally. But it's great to see these things, everyone kind of getting back into the fray. And I mentioned a couple things last week. I mentioned that movie, 7 Days to Vegas, and I got some good response. Everyone that's seen it has liked it. So if you haven't seen that, you got to watch that. Like I said, it's a great little gambling movie. And then I mentioned last week I switched over to Naira Bets. So I want to tell a little story about that. So, today, let's do that, change it up a little bit. And then, of course, Saturday, I'm scrambling, I'm this, I'm putting my picks in for a kind, I'm trying to make my bets, and it's not coming back. Well, Naira Betts had a bad day on Saturday, and I didn't know that there was, you know, everybody knew it. I just thought it was, oh, great. So anyway, I was very frustrated, as I'm sure a lot of other people were. But and then Joe, or one of our, you know, Joe, Maryland Crab Cake Joe, Joe McKay, he called me, and I guess he does some work for them, and hooked me up, and then I got, I was very frustrated. And then I got, you know, I got a letter from them, not me, but I'm sure they sent it out to everybody, apologizing. And so, you know what, I said, took a deep breath, everybody has a bad day, and, you know, went back, and they're back up. So I'm enjoying Naira Betts. I got my $200 bonus last week and a couple other things. Hmm. So, like I said, everybody has a bad day, but they're back online, and we're moving on.
Yeah, it's funny because it seemed like it was hit or miss, and I got my, but particularly, you know, with the Empire 6 Force out, I got my, I had like three different, had a main ticket and two backups, and they went through, and it was weird because it said, it asked for, you know, when it went to, it wouldn't confirm. I couldn't get it to, you know, where you get the confirmation page or the, you know, or the box. And what I did was I went to the My Bets section, my wagers section, and they were in the My, even though it wouldn't show me that it was confirmed, they were in the My Wagers section. So I wonder if some people, you know, thought that the bets weren't going in, but maybe they were. I know Dick Powell said, you know, Dick had some that, and he couldn't get them through, and you know, he ended up rectifying it, but it was a weird, you know, it was one of those things. If you kept trying, and I know Andy was saying on Twitter, you know, he said keep trying to get the bets in, and then I think by the sixth race, you know, it must have been an hour and a half, and it must have at that point they got it straightened up, and they said that it had been fixed. So
yeah, stuff happens, but it was just very, as everyone knows, when you wait till the last minute, you're looking for this and that, and you try to get a bet in, and you're in or it's not in. Yeah, I was just like you. I thought I had a couple things in, and then it'd pop back up because I watched the balance. The balance never went down. So then it's like, oh, geez.
There you go. There you go.
Glad they're back up. So we you know, like I said, everybody, we give everybody a second chance. So, but anyway, I kind of enjoy their psych is just a little rough getting around there, but I like it. So, yeah, you're talking to Marty this morning. And also Randy, what a great guy, Randy Bradshaw. He is the best. You can just, if you don't know him, you can tell just by talking to him what a class guy he is. He used to work for
tremendous
for Wayne. He used to work for, for Wayne for many years, and when I first came to California, then he said, "I'm out, going to Ocala," and he's done so well down there. Really, really highly respected horseman, and just always a positive. He's always positive, no matter what's going down. Randy's always positive. So it was good to hear his voice this morning. But, yeah, Kentucky down. Got the official announcement in the last couple days, ready to roll. Got 6 days. So it was 5 days last year. I think they tried for 7 days, settled for six. And kind of crazy with, obviously, when they cut the tape, we're planning on Churchill running the Kentucky Derby in September. So, well, Ellis Park working. I sent Ted the text the other day. I said, well, we just have all five tracks in Kentucky running on the same day. Why don't we just try that out? But a lot of scheduling going on there. But, yeah, the Derby on the Derby and down on today and go 6 days. And so they go the 7th, the 9th, 10th, 12th, 13th, and 16th of September. So very similar to last year. Going to give away a lot of money. Actually added two stakes, which is pretty wild. So every category is covered short, long, and longer. And one of them is the Music City Stakes, which is there, and I said, well, you're so close to Nashville, let's do something there, so we're going to give away a guitar. I mean, here we give away surfboard, Tennessee, and, how can we give away guitars? I said, come on, let's do it.
I love it.
We'll do that in the Music City Stakes, but the schedule's about the same. I said, give away a lot of money, and also, the casino just opened on Wednesday, so they're back in business, but... the live crowd, I saw last year, of course, was my first year there, and last year, the live crowd, I think, surprised everybody, including, everyone there, and it's like a hunt meet. You bring your, a lot of people bring your chairs and,
right.
and ice chests and come in, and they have a little temporary tent there to try to serve some owners. But it was just basically overwhelmed. I mean, everybody showed up. Everybody that had a horse in, the owner came, the trainer came, everybody came, which was wonderful. So they built a more permanent structure, a tent, like a big tent to hold 500-600 people down by the finish line. That's going to, like I said, it's going to be more permanent, not just, put it up for the day type of thing. So, taking care of the on-site customers and, got quite a announcer duo this year with Michael Rohn and Larry Colmus. They're always trying stuff. There's a few other things up their sleeve. I told you, a contest, a different type of contest for the meet going on. And, willing to try stuff there. And it's one track. We're talking about complaining. Nobody complains at Kentucky Downs. They run, they're treated well, and they're running for so much money. It's kind of cool. And then, just on a side note, let's see. I'm going to be Wednesday the 16th of September. I said, let me check out the old NASCAR schedule. And lo and behold, on the 19th, Bristol, the night race at Bristol.
Oh, cool.
For anybody, which is like the race. And I called him the other day, and I said, nice gal, Sherry answers. And I said, are you guys going to run this? She says, we just got word. We're going. I said, beautiful. So I got tickets to Bristol. So they're going to be running with some people. She said, I'm glad you're getting the tickets through me because at least if something does happen, you'll go back. But they've adjusted. They're not going to have 150,000 there, but they are going to have fans. And so very excited about being able to go to Bristol, which will be right down the road. And so just the fact that they're going to have fans or they're expecting to have fans mid-September leads me to believe that there'll be some announcement in Kentucky soon that they're going to have some fans maybe soon to the races there, which is encouraging. So, still got to be wary. That stuff's still out and about out there, and can't get too complacent. But, baby steps, and we're getting a little bit back into it. I know that. And, everyone's doing the right thing, taking it slow, and it's... it's good for that, but you talked to Jay about the races last week here. With some nice winners come out of it. There's some of the fields were rather small, and fortunately that's continued on into some of the other racing here as it continues on. And some news from yesterday about during the CHRB meeting. No, I don't know the whole particulars. Yeah. I listened to some of it, but there's a new whip rule passed. Did you see that?
Yeah, it'll be. It may take until October for it to be fully, take effect. They have to file some paperwork and so forth. But all of those changes, the restrictions essentially to using the stick is going to happen.
It is.
Apparently, the meeting went 7 hours yesterday.
I actually had it on my phone while I was putzing around the house before I had to leave, and that was right when I had to leave. I was listening to that. I go on and on, and I know it's California, and I know it's everyone has the right to speak. But after each agenda item, they allow comment on that item, and it's on a phone, and you all just do is say, hi, my name's Jimmy, and I'm a concerned citizen, and you can go on and talk for, I think they give you 3 minutes, and it's the same 10-15 people. They go on after each item and spew their hate of the game, and it's just it just goes on and on and on. And so I didn't hear the one part, but as they were talking about this writing prop deal, and I have it in front of me what it is, and I'm not going to read all of it off. You can see it under the agenda item. If you go to the CHRB website under the packages for the meeting, it tells you what they were arguing. And they had, you know, some members of the Jockeys Guild, Terry Meeks was on, you know, talking. And then, you know, then you get, like, guys like Mike Smith. And here's Mike Smith. I mean, he is one of the top 5 or 10 writers of all time on there. You know, not pleading, but saying, hey, you know what, guys, can we just wait this out? And we're working together with the rest of the country so everyone can have the same rule. So, you know, it's like when I go here, I travel here. I don't know. I can't be landing in one state and, you know, counting. Let's see, can I hit a couple times here? And then what? You know, and making just reasonable requests. Like, why do we have to do this now? Why can't we just, you know, try and get something together? And Aaron Greider spoke and made some really, really good points. And, you know, I don't ride. You don't ride. The people that vote on this stuff don't ride. I mean, let the people that are out there, you know, at least have a say in it and listen to them. They're willing to meet halfway. And then I, you know, check back an hour, and sure enough, they passed it. So, you know, I hope they can get this, some meet somewhere in the middle. But, you know, I'm reading this, and I don't know. I don't think they're, I'm not speaking for them. I think they would have rather pushed it over and tried to get some kind of national thing going, that's all. But that's not how it is out here. Everything's agenda-driven. And anyway...
Just as an aside, I mean, this is one of those easy, this should be, and I think is recognized widely as an easy fix for us as an industry. I mean, it's something that, you know, people have this visual impression and they attack the game, and, you know, by addressing this and starting with the, you know, the much more the much gentler safety crop and so forth, it's an easy remedy to take away a bludgeon from the critics, honestly, the interesting thing about this, Hammer, this topic, even before there was the acute, you know, animal activist, terrorist types, even before it became acute with them, there was plenty of criticism of the way, you know, stick use was, you know, unaddressed, essentially. And, you know, when you have people like Trevor Denman and Jay Hovde, you know, that have been, you know, screaming for whip reform for years, well,
absolutely,
before this era.
There's nobody's denying that. Of course we need to do something about the visual and actually the use of it. It was more about the uniformity than anything else.
Right.
We're going to pass a rule. Somebody else is going to pass a rule. Somebody else is going to pass a rule. And... you know, just going back to, you know, other situations where we talk about change, it's so much easier to make the change when you don't have to make the change than when
right.
you're forced
right.
to make the
right.
change, and it doesn't matter
well,
what it is.
Well, good point.
We talked about this 10 years ago. It's if we'd just calmly got together and made the change when nobody was pushing for it, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We'd be in place and we'd be moving right along. Now, when we're kind of forced to, all eyes are on us, and so whatever we do is not going to be right. It just goes that way with anything. Change under your rules, not when somebody else is making you do it. But anyway, I just, like I said, we just every day goes by, and when I don't hear the word uniformity in rules, whether it's claiming rules or medication rules or something, I'm working with a few people and trying to get a few things where it is the same in every state. I mean, it really is ridiculous that more stuff isn't uniform. You know, one other quick thing I just wanted to touch on was, have you noticed, I mean, I guess there's more tracks out now, but I'm watching more, You know, I just see more of this late odds change, you know, at the end of races. As I pay more attention because I'm playing more contests and, you know, making more wages than I normally do. If they're getting close to the gate and you see a horse that's like odds are higher than they should be, it's too good to be true. Guess what? After they cross the wire, you find out that it usually is. I mean, I've seen, you know, 8s go to 4s and 5-2s go to 6-5, and I'm talking everywhere. New York, Charlestown, Lone Star. You know, every time you sit and wait, if they wait till the end, you see a horse, oh my gosh, this horse is 6-1, and you bet it, and he comes back and pays $7. It's crazy, and I've noticed more and more as the tracks are loading into the gate, they take the odds away so you don't see it, and then halfway through the race until they put them up, and there's that gap there. But I don't know. I know it's a long time complaint, but I just see things. I'm seeing different things now, and it's very annoying.
Well, this is a topic that, you know, that rankles on a going basis, and you know there are elements that explain a lot of the. You know, the mechanics of this. I mean, I brought it up dozens
right,
of times.
Right, a zillion times.
Well, but there is a pending solution, or at least an alternative that I think people are going to start to get excited about. And we brought it up with Dick Powell yesterday, and we're going to have more. You know, as the season starts at Monmouth. But you know, the fixed odds wagering that's going to come to Monmouth is going to be, you know, very closely monitored and I think appreciated. I mean, there's so many positives associated with it, and it's not, you know, it's now weeks away, really. I mean, we're very close to this, and we're going to discuss it and help introduce it to people.
That is fantastic when I heard about that. I mean, that's going to be watched. I know I'm not quite sure how they're going to do it or when they're going to open the betting and say, this is your odds. But I know I'm certainly going to be looking at it because, you know, it's nice to think that if you bet a horse at 5-1, you're going to get close to it anyway. So this will be fixed. And it's, you know, it's a movement in the right direction, that's for sure. And is it true? I heard that yesterday at Belmont, there were some people outside carrying signs, defund the stewards. Is that true?
So you're breaking up on me a little bit, Hammer. I didn't hear you clearly.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said, is it true that there were some people outside of Belmont yesterday carrying signs, defund the stewards?
But I'm bumped.
But I'm bumped. Somebody actually mentioned that. Yeah, that's not bad. But Santa Anita here's got ends next week on the 21st. Pretty quick. So what? 6 more days of racing, and then we go to Los Al for a 3-day week and a 4-day week, and down to Del Mar. And I think racing here in Southern California is due for a change of venue. And I think people will be looking forward to it, and not sure exactly what they're going to do down there. They're going to open up with no fans. I believe they're in a situation where they're going to try and get some owners in there, you know, during the day for the races, which is good. And you know, it all depends on. We do everything by county, which a lot of places do too. It's all going to be depending on how San Diego County feels about it. And hopefully the restaurants will be open for business, but you know, just like Saratoga, won't be the same. But you know, be looking forward to a change of venue. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's just fresh. Keeps things fresh. Hammer, so, you got a play or two for the weekend before we go?
You know, I looked over, and there's not a whole lot that jumps out at you. You know, they got a couple stakes on Saturday, a couple 5-horse fields. Carla Gaines has 2 in the Cowbred race, the Thor's Echo, and like the longer priced one, Tiger Dad, will take a shot. Desert Law, of course, come close in the Bing Crosby. Tiger Dad has a little more recency. You know, not much action there. Sunday, the possibly perfect stakes, you know, Stillies and Mares going long on the turf, and Richard Mandela has a horse called Dog Take in there. Looks like he might be able to control the race, of course, with Pratt on. And that's all we got from there. And, you know, like I said, I'm kind of waiting it out here. We get to Belmont Day, and then everything changes from there. We start going to Saratoga and Del Mar. And anyway, it's all good here. There's something going. My phone has been ringing off the hook here, both phones. Something's going on out there at Santa Anita. So we'll find out what's going on there. And, you know, wish everyone a great weekend. And I think the weather's starting to turn good for everybody. So enjoy the races and be glad we have them. I asked Jimmy the other day, I said, what do normal people do during the day when they can't go to work? I mean, we're lucky we get to play the races all day and move on. But, gosh, I have other friends that just, they've done nothing. They just sit at home. And I said, no, good for you. I'm playing the races and enjoying my life. So. Right?
Exactly. No doubt. It's really been, I don't know, it was an easy adjustment to make, I think, for most of us as you know, players and fans and participants.
Totally.
So
yeah, so let's not sell our sport short. It's pretty darn good. Glad to be involved.
Hammer, I appreciate it. And on one part of next week that won't be, you know, that will be missing is you and Jimmy coming to sit down with me at Belmont, but we'll do it by phone instead.
We'll do it by phone instead, and we got a lot of stuff going on this summer, so we'll, you know, hopefully we can meet up somewhere down the line. But it's always a pleasure, and it's just great talking horses with you, Steve, and carry on.
I appreciate it. Rick Hammerly, everybody. Away they go on your Twitter machine. Away we go. Wrapping up hour two, and we'll come back. And this actually probably is our last break of the morning. It's been that kind of a Friday. Weekend preview continues, and we'll preview the action at Belmont next with Nick Tamaro. Get Nick's read from the past week as well, and Brandon Lee from Lone Star. I want him to provide the details of how you'll be able to go to Grand Prairie and play in their big contest coming up in a couple of weeks. They got a qualifier on Sunday as part of the Texas Champions Day, and then Mike Welsh will close it out, and Mike will give us at least a thumbnail looking at this Rainbow Six sequence that goes on Saturday, starting with race 7. Races 7 through 12, and they've got, what, $2 million and change, so you got to figure this thing will go to $10 million at least, and yeah, probably about four and a half times. A maiden special on the turf going a mile, group of 12. Then there's a 12-5 claimer with just 8 horses. Interesting, including a 2-1 favorite. Then a 12-5 claimer a mile on the grass with a full field of 12. Then there's a 10-horse field, 10,000 non-winners at 2, going short on the dirt. A $55,000 starter handicap. A mile for three-year-olds and up. That's got a group of 9 where Math Wizard comes back. But not going to miss a chance to bring up Wentz. You bet. Mainline Racing. Will Schwartz and partner. And Wentz going to be a big price in there. Diamond Oops in there, too, for Patrick B. and Cone. So kind of a nice group. And there's 8, 9 of them. And then a 8,000 conditional claimer a mile for 4 and ups, and there's 12 in there. This might be a pretty approachable, actually, just glancing at it. First time I've looked at it. So Mike Welch will help you with a Rainbow Six approach on a force out day. Back after this, hour 3. Nick Tamaro next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Service of Horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.